Financial abuse is any way that someone can kind of control your financial freedom. That could be you're on an allowance. It could be you don't have your own bank account. It could be that your names aren't on any of the owning documents of your house, your cars, anything like that. So if you were to split up with your partner and you needed to go out and rent an apartment or find another job, you have been controlled in that aspect. And it can start very small. It can start by someone saying that they think you should stay home with the kids and not necessarily have a career, that you're fine financially. And so that's really one part that we get involved in with the career help, because statistically speaking, 2/3 of women actually lose their jobs stemming from reasons from the abuse. And that can be a multitude of reasons, but not having an income really affects your financial freedom.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. One of my favorite things about hosting a podcast is uncovering stories of how women are changing the world by taking on global issues. One of the key challenges affecting women and men globally is domestic violence. On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. Domestic violence occurs across all socioeconomic, educational, racial, ethnic, and gender groups. However, it is an issue that tends to adversely impact more women than men. Specifically, 1 in 4 women will experience this issue compared to 1 in 9 men. Outside of the physical and psychological impact, victims also face financial abuse, which makes it really difficult for them to leave their abusive partners. For example, a recent study found that 74% of survivors remained in abusive relationships longer than they wanted to because of financial concerns. Financial independence plays a key role in enabling victims of abuse to make a change. That's why Gail Taberzi-Buck and Rebecca Oppenheim co-founded Next OPP Search, a recruitment company inspired by the one-for-one social entrepreneurship model. For every candidate they hire, Rebecca and Gail donate career coaching services to a survivor of domestic violence. This forward approach to business is how both Rebecca and Gail are breaking the cycle of abuse and creating a new way of doing business. Domestic Violence Awareness Month takes place every October. Across the country, families and friends of victims gather to honor their loved ones who lost their lives at the hands of a person they once loved and trusted. This widespread issue includes any form of violence that occurs within a domestic relationship. And this issue adversely impacts women, who are more often the victims of domestic violence and more likely than men to suffer injuries or health consequences. But importantly, this is also an issue for workplaces, as a survey of American employees found that 44% of full-time employed adults personally experience domestic violence effects in their workplaces, and 64% of victims felt that their ability to work was negatively impacted as a result. More than half of domestic violence victims said they were distracted, and almost half feared having their abuse discovered. The physical and psychological impact of domestic violence negatively impacts victims' job security. It's also likely that victims will face financial abuse, which makes it even harder for them to leave. To tackle this issue, Gail and Rebecca founded their recruitment company, Next OPP Search. Here, Rebecca shares how the organization offers a different way of doing business.
Next Stop Search is a national recruiting agency, but we're actually built on a one-for-one model. So similar to like Tom's Shoes, where you buy a pair and they donate a pair, we're actually the first company to do it in the service industry. And so for us, what that means is for every candidate that's placed on our for-profit recruiting side, that donates career coaching services to a survivor of domestic violence that's working towards financial independence. And that program is called Hire One, Help One. And so we are now a B Corp certified company as of this year, and just very passionate about building both the for-profit side of our company and also our mission of giving back and empowering women.
Certified B Corporations are a new kind of business that balance purpose and profit. They're legally required to consider the impact of their decisions on workers, customers, suppliers, community, and the environment. This model enables people to use business as a force for good, much like Next OPP Search, which tackles the issue of domestic violence. Here, Gail shares why this issue is so important to their organization and what they're doing to address it.
Rebecca and I spent some time evaluating our company when we initially started it, because we wanted to have a model with a double bottom line where we were a for-profit company that gave back in some way. And something both Rebecca and I are passionate about is empowering women. And so we recognize we have this unique skill set within the recruiting of helping women revise their resumes, prepping them for interviews, building their confidence as they get back out into the workplace. And we thought this is a really valuable skill set that can help women who are looking to re-enter the workforce. Rebecca did some research on domestic abuse, and we learned that 99% of victims of domestic abuse are also victims of financial abuse. And 74% remain longer in an abusive relationship due to financial concerns. So we met with the crisis centers and learned, you know, they're so overwhelmed with all of the aspects that they have to deal with, you know, in helping these women, that they don't really have a model for employment and reentering the workforce. So that was kind of a piece of the puzzle where we felt we could add value. We do work in conjunction with domestic violence crisis centers, and we rely on them to curate survivors that are ready for this stage. And then we work directly with the survivors, either in a workshop setting or one-on-one, to help them prepare to look for a job or start a new career path.
When most people think of domestic abuse, the first thing that comes to mind is likely verbal abuse and physical assault. But research shows that financial abuse occurs just as frequently in unhealthy relationships as other forms of abuse. In fact, a study by the Centers for Financial Security found that 99% of domestic violence cases also involve financial abuse, which includes controlling a victim's ability to acquire, use, and maintain financial resources. Victims are often prevented from working or have restricted or no access to their finances. Here, Rebecca shares the impact of financial abuse.
I'm shocked by these numbers. I mean, this wasn't something I think we were innately aware of before. It was kind of the financial aspect of the abuse. So it really shaped our thinking as well. Financial abuse is any way that someone can kind of control your financial freedom. That could be you're on an allowance. It could be you don't have your own bank account. It could be that your names aren't on any of the owning documents of your house, your cars, anything like that. So if you were to split up with your partner and you needed to go out and rent an apartment or find another job, you have been controlled in that aspect. And it can start very small. It can start by someone saying that they think you should stay home with the kids and not necessarily have a career that you're fine financially. And so that's really one part that we get involved in with the career help, because statistically speaking, 2/3 of women actually lose their jobs stemming from reasons from the abuse. And that can be a multitude of reasons, but not having an income really affects your financial freedom.
Financial abuse is also one of the key factors that enables the cycle of abuse. Here, Gail explains why.
The financial abuse, it's multifaceted. It can be, for example, something that we were surprised to find out. A lot of these women have their credit very badly damaged. So loans have been taken out in their name. Credit cards have been maxed out. And so their credit is compromised, which is another way of keeping them from moving out and moving forward. If your credit's damaged, you can't lease a car, you can't rent an apartment. It's very difficult to go through a background check for a new position. So that's just one example of financial abuse. And your ability to leave an abusive relationship. A lot of women have children to think of as well. And so they're not just concerned about supporting themselves, but also their children.
Financial abuse is one of the most powerful methods of keeping a victim trapped in an abusive relationship. Research shows that victims often are too concerned about their ability to provide financially for themselves and their children to end the relationship. Plus, financial insecurity is one of the top reasons that women return to an abusive partner. The effects of financial abuse are often devastating. Victims feel inadequate and unsure of themselves due to the emotional abuse that often accompanies financial abuse. Here, Rebecca shares an example of how her work helps to build victims' confidence.
There was one woman that I was working with who had an amazing background, actually, as an executive assistant, but had just gone out on her own with her two kids and was finishing up kind of the court process. And it can be very overwhelming. And she just wasn't necessarily feeling so confident in her skills or where she fit in or what company she should be reaching out to. So we actually did some one-on-one coaching with her and reshaped her resume to have her talk about what her strengths are, what sets her apart from other people, put together a full job search strategy plan of who to reach out to, how to reach out to them, you know, what is her profile, whether it be LinkedIn or her pitches via email or speaking to someone. And in return, we spoke to her afterwards. She actually landed a job pretty quickly. And she said the biggest thing that impacted her was her confidence, seeing her ability and strengths kind of in a new light, just hearing it sometimes, I think, from another person. I wasn't giving her anything new that she hadn't already built up and was an expert in herself. But just reshaping that, she said, made the biggest difference for her.
For Gail, the aim of Next OPP Search is to ensure that every woman who needs it has access to the same support.
A lot of the work that we do is technical, but to Rebecca's point, a lot of it is just raising someone's confidence and validating them. You know, we're in a position to review their background and say, okay, you bring a lot to the table here. You can add value in so many different ways. Let's highlight these, or let's flesh out these bullet points some more, and let's talk about your experience and just kind of shape their story so they're attractive in the marketplace, but also so they feel that they're attractive in the marketplace and they recognize their value. We actually just crossed the 50 mark. We're very excited about that. We've helped 50 women so far since we launched the program in April of last year. Right now we had a pilot program in the tri-state area that's been active for a year. And that was kind of our way to get the program up and running, hire one, help one. We had to become certified by the state of Connecticut, learn to work in conjunction with the crisis centers and kind of iron out all the kinks. And it's been very successful. So we are working towards expanding that program now in another location, Charleston, South Carolina. And ultimately, our goal is to scale the program nationally so that any woman who is looking for free career coaching services knows where to turn and has a resource to do that.
Next OPP Search is able to undertake this impactful work because of the one-for-one model. Rebecca says this approach to doing business can have a transformative effect on employees and society.
We feel that for-profit companies can really make a difference in social impact, environmental issues, the way they treat their employees. There's so many different ways that you can make a difference and not just necessarily leave it up to nonprofits. So this idea of kind of compassionate capitalism is something that's very near and dear to us. And something that thankfully is being talked about a lot more, right? Instead of focusing on just the shareholders, all of your stakeholders in your community and your environment and your employees are part of that. So we were so dedicated to this movement. We did go through the process of becoming a B Corp. It is rigorous, and we are ecstatic to be a part of that community. And they look at every aspect of your business. So you don't have to necessarily have a one-for-one model or necessarily one specific thing that people might think sucks up all your time. It can be little things in all different areas of your business. So where do you spend most of your expenses? Are they through your community? Where do you bank? Is it with someone that's local? Is it diversity-owned businesses? Is it how do you treat your employees? What's the disparity between the highest paid employee and the lowest paid employee? There are lots of different ways companies can evaluate themselves as a social entrepreneurship company.
While the focus of B Corporations is to give back, these businesses also have to maintain a focus on making a profit. Here, Gail outlines how they get the balance right.
I've been working for over 20 years, and since we started this company, I have never been more motivated to go to work every day. I am a capitalist. I like to make money. I'm not ashamed to say that. But I am so inspired and motivated by the work that we're doing by using our for-profit model to sustain the nonprofit. It's just something that really resonates with me, and it's something that gets me up in the morning in a way that nothing else ever has. And then certainly, you know, the women that we work with, I learn from them. I'm inspired by them every day. And so it's not a chore, it's a gift. And I encourage anyone who's considering it to evaluate what they're passionate about and what they care about and try to find a way to incorporate it into their business, because it's very rewarding. Taking the time is really important, because if you're going to make a commitment to something, you really want to make sure that you, one, are passionate about it, and two, you've evaluated what that's actually going to entail. So my recommendation would be to talk to other companies who are doing it, as many people as you can. There are summits locally that you can go to. Here in Charleston, there's a Good Business Summit that are social entrepreneurship companies. And so attending that summit and talking to those other companies who've been doing it longer and were already B Corp certified was very informative. I learned a lot from my colleagues. And I would say also, you know, reaching out to people on LinkedIn. If you see companies that are, you know, are models that you would be interested in following, it's a great platform to talk to people who have already been through it and learn whether or not that's something that you can actually do, something that you can actually take the time to incorporate into your business model realistically.
Given the widespread nature of domestic violence and the impact this issue has on workplaces, I asked Rebecca to share her advice for how organizations and employees can tackle this issue.
I think the one thing you can definitely do is to lean on the organizations in your community that are experts at this. It's what we do. We turn to the domestic violence crisis centers who provide shelter, financial assistance, legal assistance, mentoring groups, emotional counseling. We by no means are able to give those things, and we turn to them for advice constantly. So if anyone is at a for-profit company, nonprofit, whatever it is, if you're a coworker, if you think there is something that might be awry, or, you know, that you're noticing, you know, you can turn to these areas, these centers in your community, and turn to them for help, ask them for advice, because they've been doing it for decades and they are, you know, immensely successful at it, and we turn to them constantly.
In addition to this, Gail believes that companies need to start educating employees about the issue.
You know, with domestic violence, it is tricky because there's a confidentiality factor. And a lot of these women aren't able to speak to what's happening, whether it be from an emotional standpoint or a legal standpoint. So I would say, you know, what companies can do is be proactive in making sure their HR departments are vocal about this and, you know, incorporating it into the resources that are available to their employees, so that employees feel that if they are going through something like this, that they can trust their human resources department and that there are resources available to them right in the workplace, and that they're not going to be discriminated against because of what they're experiencing at home. You know, there is still a stigmatism attached to domestic violence. I think a lot of people feel, you know, why doesn't she just leave? It's a free country. So I think that it is important for companies to take the responsibility to have someone in their human resources department participate in an education seminar so they can actually understand the complexities of domestic violence. And that in turn will help them be empathetic and educate their department, because that is a big part of the problem. It's a lack of understanding and a lack of empathy around this issue.
Finally, Rebecca shares her message to all women who may be struggling with domestic violence.
You are not alone. Isolation is one of the first things that happens when you're in this situation and you can feel that way. You are not. There are many, many people who can not only help you get through this, but that have gotten through it themselves. And there are people like our organization and crisis centers throughout the country that can help you figure out every nuance that goes throughout this entire process. You are not alone. There are people that have gone through this, and there are people that are here to help you.
It was so incredible to hear how Rebecca and Gail are not only building a successful business, but they're doing it whilst also making an impact and transforming the lives of women. Imagine for a moment if every business approached work in this way. If you're interested in supporting Rebecca and Gail, you can donate your time or support their business at nextoppsearch.com. Thank you so much for tuning into our episode today. If you're interested in partnering with us or being a guest on the show, then please reach out through our website, thefixpodcast.org. You can also sign up to our weekly newsletter and contribute your story there. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you all again next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.